Welcome to Leadership Reimagined. I'm Dr. Jane Lovis, your host. During each episode of Leadership Reimagined, we take a look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. And in this episode, we're creating that new future. Today, I'd like to welcome Natalie Turner, co-founder of the Entheo Network, an innovation and lifestyle company with Carl Heinz that they founded in 2006. They are also the owners of several brands under the Entheo Network, including the Six Eyes Innovation, Women Who Lead, Yes, You Can Innovate, Music for the Soul, and Natalie and Carl's respective personal brands. Their core brand focus is inspiring and enabling people to innovate through the Six Eyes of Innovation, a comprehensive, integrated methodology that offers a human-centered approach to innovation, blending design thinking with organizational development and a unique proprietary innovation strengths profile for individuals and teams. Its purpose is to provide a consistent framework for measuring innovation skills and capabilities and an actionable process for developing an innovative and productive working culture. The Six Eyes have been used in a variety of organizations across the world, including the Singapore government, Cisco Systems, Leo, Pharma Asia, GSK, and Danone. Natalie, welcome. I am so thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. I'm very excited to be here as well.
I love two things, leadership and innovation. So you've got both of those together.
Absolutely. Me too. That's why I spend all my life working in this area.
Isn't that the way to do it? Yeah. Do what you love and love what you do. Tell me about how you help companies, teams, and individuals innovate. And I can only assume that in that, you're expanding their leadership also.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, let's start. If I reel back a few years, I can give a bit of context to how I've developed out the methodology of the Six Eyes of Innovation and why, if you like, and then how it touches on how to, also on my book and those sorts of areas. So let me give you a quick potted history. Sure. I'll start more from when my professional history rather than back before then. But prior to setting up the Entheo Network back in 2006 in London, I was an innovation director in a large research firm, and I was responsible for design thinking, facilitation of big, you know, creative events to help develop new products and new services for large multinational companies like Coca-Cola, Diageo, American Express, HSBC, those sorts of brands. And I was very much at what they called that fuzzy front end of innovation, you know, when you'd be going out and getting insight from the market and then developing up propositions, and then those propositions would go into testing, etc. But what I found was all of these workshops were fantastic. They never failed to generate great ideas for these companies.
Of course.
But a lot of the time, what happened was they would go back inside, and for all sorts of reasons, you know, some would come out the other side, you know, and hit the market, and a lot actually wouldn't. So this really got me thinking more about what is it that stops innovation happening, and innovation in its broadest sense, you know, in terms of creating value, whether it's new products, new services, new processes, new ways of working that are new to you. And so I actually didn't know at the time, but what I did was I stepped my toes in the water of organizational leadership development, because I was more from a marketing and a commercial and a strategic background and creative facilitation. Actually, a lot of the reasons innovation gets stuck or ideas get stuck is more to do with all these other aspects around organizational design, structures, management, leadership, culture, all of that. So It was a very interesting transition, because then when I left and set up the business, I was looking for models and tools and systems to help work with organizations, not just on what to innovate, you know, the outcome, but how to innovate, both the process and the people aspect around it. And that's really what started me off on the journey to invent the six eyes of innovation, because I couldn't find something that I felt encapsulated a people-centered approach that really took into account different types of skills, mindsets, ways that people would contribute, and not just the creative people, but all sorts of people, depending on what their strengths were. And that's really what inspired me to create a model that would help organizations to innovate.
I love that. No matter what you're doing, the more different types of thinkers, creators, behaviors, the more people with a variety of strengths, you then have to be able to get them to work together.
Uh-huh.
But the more variety you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And with diversity, which, you know, we're all talking about
exactly.
today, and it's fantastic, but it's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge when you have such different ways of thinking, different perspectives, and all of this obviously helps innovation, because you need new thinking,
right.
But you don't just need the new thinking to spark ideas and the imagination. You do need that. You need thinking to make stuff happen, you know? You need new thinking. You need the different contribution of skill sets around the innovation journey. And that was what I saw was sort of lacking. There was like a lot of focus on the creative aspect of innovation, but how do you bring in the right people at the right time, given their strengths, to enable ideas to work? And that's really been my quest over the last few years. And I actually wrote a book back in 2018 called Yes, You Can Innovate, to really bring this together, because what clients were saying and companies were saying that we worked with were saying that, can you codify this instrument and create a profiling tool that would measure people's diversity, would measure their strengths and their contribution? And can we have a practical toolkit, a way of helping us to build different types of skills? And that's really been the focus, is looking at this from a people perspective as well as a process perspective, to help raise the game of organizations' ability to derive new value out of new ideas.
Because if you have, we all know that there's a tendency, we all have this tendency that we want to hire and work with people that are like us. If you put a whole team of me's together, you'd have a lot of stuff and nothing would ever get done.
You're probably an igniter, Jane, on my model. An initiator, one that gets ideas, you know.
I have ideas all the time.
Yeah.
And once in a while, I take this really through to fruition, and I can make myself do that. When I work with somebody that's their skill, their strength, we get twice as much done, because it's not for me, that's heavy lifting. And for them, coming up with all the ideas. And so then we get with other people that have different strengths. It pulls the whole group. And when you're in that design, that thinking process, they may not be the wild thinkers, but they've always got an idea to contribute.
Absolutely.
That
yeah.
expands and what's going on. I love that concept. And being able to codify it a bit so that we are not in our state of, I'm just naturally going to hire people that look like me, because that's what I'm going to do if I don't have something to support me in. How do I look for those other people?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because the profiling instrument that we've developed is it's more like a strengths finder around skills. So it's not a psychological or like a personality type profiling instrument, which, you know, there are a lot of those around, which are great. And absolutely you need them because they're all about motivation and how you show up in that way. But what I wanted to do was to really look at people's perception of their ability to do something, to be able to do a discrete skill. And so we measure 36 different skills across six concepts. So identification of opportunity, your ability to identify an opportunity. Do you feel you're good at it? And then there are different skills. Mm-hmm. Your ability to ignite new ideas, come up with fresh thinking, six different skills. Your ability to investigate, test, prototype, research, validate, and different skills under that. Your ability to invest. You know, are you good at influencing, persuasion? Are you good at resourcing? Often we forget about that on the innovation journey. I don't know what, because that is why so many ideas get stuck, particularly at that phase. And then you've got implementation, or your ability to manage teams, to know what type of people you need, to get partnership on board, and your ability to improve, leverage, optimize, look for quick wins, low-hanging fruit, good at process improvement, all of those types of things. So the model, in a way, it measures your perception, your unique perception of yourself, what you think you're good at, and also what's important to you in your job, because that can change. Mm-hmm. You know, you move jobs or you move roles or organizations, and the importance level may change. So it gives you like a gap analysis between your perceived strengths and also your what's important to you. What I have found in using this is the people that say who come up high as implementers, when they realize that they are innovators just as much as, say, the igniters, because the igniters are always the ones that people think are the innovators and everybody else is just doing work, you know. And that's a myth I love to bust. I love to say to people, if without this diversity of innovation skills, we don't get our ideas out. And we know we can have all the ideas we want in the ignite phase, but if we can't actually build the skills and capabilities in people and also in our cultural environments, then, you know, that's why we get stuck a lot of the time.
Right. We can't create something that users really need. Oh, yeah. We've had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't forward solving a problem. And that's the real focus of a business is there's a problem that needs to be solved.
Yes.
And this is so critical right now because there are so many problems in the world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talking about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And how are we going to bridge that gap? It's all very well and good to say, go and be innovative to people. But a lot of the time people don't, one, know what it means.
Right.
And also what it means to them in their job, in their role. You know, if you're working in customer services or in the finance department or you're in regulatory affairs, what does it mean to be innovative? And often those types of people will always see the product development and the R&D people. They're the innovative ones. And some little lab somewhere is being innovative and everyone else is just keeping the lights on.
Right.
You know, and so there's this whole disconnect in the mindset that I think we really need to shift right now to help everybody see how they contribute to making new things happen so that we can get faster and better at solving problems and seizing new opportunities, creating new opportunities to really address the world's problems.
Everything's about change, and innovation drives change, and change drives innovation. And people, are resistant to change.
Yeah. Well, some people are. Some people thrive on it, but yeah, they're probably a few and far between.
Yeah. And so making it part of the culture and part of a processable, there's something I think that a lot of people feel that are the people that resist change because it's going to impact how I'm working. Look at innovation as just more change.
Mm. Well, it normally will involve some form of change. I mean, that is the nature of it,
right,
in a sense, because it's spearheading what's coming next, you know? I mean, the change might be small or it might be radical. It depends on how incremental or radical, you know, the innovation outcome is. There normally is some form of movement, of value creation, which will create some shift of doing something in a different way. And I think it's been interesting in the last few years because people have been forced to change, whether they liked it or not. And the things that even were put on hold, like, oh, well, we'll come round to doing, you know, digitalization of whatever we're trying to do down the road at some point. Suddenly, boom, you're having to do it all right now. Otherwise, you're not even going to stay afloat.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting one, isn't it? This whole nature of our relationship to change, but actually impermanence and change are our everyday life. We like to think we have control. I think, you know, we like to feel like we're all in control, but we're not. But we're surfing, and so agility and our ability to be resilient is being able to deal with the shifts that are occurring around us and are going to continue to increase, aren't they? I mean, it's not like things are going to go away and there's going to be a steady state of life now. If anything, it's going to get more like that.
Right.
So we have to have these skills. They're survival skills. They've always been survival skills, but now they're rapid survival skills.
Right. Now it's the change. I mean, it used to be, there would be a change in your life, a change in your lifetime. Now it's a change in a year, six months. And the other piece that I think is by identifying these strengths, especially in an organization, then you have a sense too, then what other people's strengths are.
Wow.
And when you know what other people's strengths are, there's a level of trust.
And an understanding as well.
Mm-hmm.
An understanding where they're coming from and how to involve or engage them in the right time, right place. And also for them to know that and for you to know that. And I actually, you know, I think it's interesting going back to leadership, because what I have found with this is that once you know your innovation strengths, you also know how you will tend to lead other people, from what vantage point you see the world. So if you're an igniting leader and that is your dominant strength, you're going to be the one that's always coming up with ideas for the team. Yeah, we should be doing this, should be doing that. And whilst there could be a lot of great new energy, it could be very frustrating for a lot of the team members as well. You know, it's like, here we go again. Oh, but oh, now we're off in another direction or another project. So understanding that of yourself is very important. Just to say, an implementation-based leader, very good at driving stuff through and making things happen, they may well sort of get stagnate sometimes and need that fresh impetus of the igniting energy that can help them come up with new ideas and know when they've got to sort of rise up above themselves and look at all the different dimensions that are required to innovate and say, what do we need? What skill sets do we need? What experience do we need? What cultural environment should we be stimulating? Because you're going to need different ones at different points.
That's critical, because when you're in that innovation, you need to be, there's a flexibility that you need when you're in the ideation. And when you're developing, you don't want to be adding new ideas every day.
No, you never get going, you know. Yeah, I often talk about I say, what does the idea need? Like, look at your idea and say, what do you need? And what skills do you need to take you wherever you need to go next? I liken it to a relay race. You're in the race and you've got the baton in your hand, and you've got to know when you're going to be passing that baton onto someone else. And the six eyes actually is a circular iterative model. So it's not like a linear one. You may, you know, start off and identify and ignite and investigate, and then you're back up to ignite.
Right.
You might need to pass the baton to another runner who's an igniter behind you, and you're the investigator that's in front, you know? Or you might be in implementation and then realize actually you need to be in improvement right now because the processes aren't working. So you need an improver. So thinking of it that way, rather than it's just, oh, you do this and then you do that and then you do this and pop out comes something innovative. But life isn't like that and ideas aren't like that. We're constantly having to go through a different type of process to refine, shape and make things better.
And there's a lot of that back and forth and go forward and then backwards. When we acknowledge that there are steps in a process and phases in a process, one, it gives us an understanding of where we are and what we're doing. And it also allows us to just be, this is where we are. We can't be someplace where we're not. I think a lot of times teams want to be someplace where they're not.
That's interesting too, because right in the center of the six I's, we have purpose. What is it we're trying to do and why are we trying to do it? I call it the purpose pause. So when teams get into that sort of, oh, where are we or what we're doing? It's like, well, get back into purpose. Take stock of where you are and, you know, what's going on and why you're doing what you're doing and get alignment back around that. It's very, very powerful when you start to really think through the lens of purpose-driven innovation and purpose with hopefully positive impact, you know, on right. people and planet. I mean, you could have any purpose. You could have a terrible, evil purpose. You know? Right. So positive purpose. So that's what we need right now is people that can think through the lens of positive purpose and yet at the same time hold the realism of what's going on in the world. I think that we've got to have, I've started using this term actually, it's called Delta Talents. I just like this sort of bridging. You know, people, if a Delta Talent is someone that knows what's going on in a domain, you know, that might need innovation. Well, lots of everything needs innovation, but looking at, you know, the problems of society. And then on the other side, they're able to bridge their skill sets, their experience. They're able to bring the right people at the right time and be like a conductor in the orchestra to actually solve problems. I think that's what we really are looking at now when we're looking at innovation leadership, is people that can really bring this diversity together.
And to a certain extent, all leadership is a level of innovation leadership. The definition of leadership that I expanded based on some others is that leadership is the art of empowering a group of individuals to accomplish a vision. And what you're saying fits in so perfect because one person cannot accomplish a vision because you don't have all the skills and the talents and everything you need, and a group can't accomplish it if they're not really clear what the vision is.
Yeah.
And then when they're part of creating that vision and expanding it, ideating it, they can then help it move along and it may pass to other teams.
Who are also going to have a combination of skills.
Yeah.
Regardless of their department or their function. You know, people have different experience, but they also have a different skill sets.
Right.
So that's really important.
Yeah, this is amazing. I'd never looked at innovation from that level with that lens on it. And it makes such a, really gives a lot of clarity to the whole process.
Yes, because we have to demystify this word. That's the problem. You know, every time, you know, we go out or we have like certified practitioners around the world now, since the book was launched, I had people contacting me saying, oh, we like the model. Can we train in it or can we get this in our organization? So then we had to develop a certification train the trainer model. And that's exactly it. It's like, how do we simplify something that is quite complex and multi-layered, multidisciplinary, but have it in a simplified way so that not to make it simplistic, but to make it simplified so that everyone can go, I get it. I get that ideas travel. I get that ideas can come out of opportunities. We don't want to just get idea that doesn't link to an opportunity or a problem or something, because it's just some idea floating around that's not going to do anything. You know, but they travel through a journey, and the journey is not just one straight line. It's backwards and forwards and iterating constantly. And then you've got all these different people. And we also need to be thinking around the culture and processes that each of these eyes, if you like, need. So to stimulate ignite, what culture should you be cultivating? To stimulate implementation, what culture should you be, you know, stimulating? And to the mindsets that are associated with each of these is another whole layer as well, because it's all about our perception, the way we see things, and knowing when to shift mindset to say, right, I've got to move now into a committed mindset. Now, I now need to shift from creativity into commitment. Yeah. I really need to like sit down. I'm writing a novel at the moment and I'm in the committed stage. I'm in that editing, investigate and implement stage, you know, line by line.
Yes. Going through. Very different than the creative stage.
Completely different from that first draft when I was wild. My imagination was everywhere. I was writing completely unbridled, you know, it's like boof, whatever came out my head.
Exactly. I love the idea too of in different phases, what's the culture that we need to create? Organization has a culture just as at a high level that they either they've created or it has created itself. And then when your teams have cultures, and so often these kind of subcultures get created unintentionally. You pull people together and a culture gets created. The norms of that group get created and that becomes the culture. So to look at this of what culture do we need at this period of time is really, really powerful.
And to have that discussion as a team, because then you can sort of look at your own culture. You are in it, but you're out of it in a way. You know, you've got a sort of, you know that you're part of the whole system, but at the same time, if you can stand back from that system, it's a bit like meditation, you know, when you stand back from your own thought process, obviously you're still thinking, yeah?
Right.
But you have that witnessing to yourself. You're able to go, wow, that's really holding us back. That particular behavior or that cultural value or whatever it might be, or that is really enabling us right now. Mm-hmm. And to be thinking, what can you reinforce and what processes can you put in place that will help shift things? Because sometimes what I've seen that happen a lot is processes can be put in place, but the culture just kicks it out. They're never going to work. So there has to be a symbiotic relationship of reinforcement between a process, you know, impacting culture and culture impacting process. And to have these discussions, to really think it through, helps you hopefully elevate and accelerate your ability to make something work. Speed of integration.
I like that you say accelerate it, because sometimes there's a feeling that we've been talking about this enough, and that's probably true. And have you been talking about it effectively and intentionally and authentically? Have you really been talking about it or talking around it? And when you do that, when you really get authentic, it opens up space for things to move faster afterwards.
Yeah, because there's like a real conversation being and a genuine reflection. And oftentimes, you know, what I say to, you know, the practitioners around the world that work with us is, you know, what we're doing is holding up a mirror. We're holding up a mirror of data. The data is not an absolute truth. It's a point in time of a perception of a team's strengths and its challenges. And it's an entry point. It's a portal into a discussion that enables them to see themselves and to have a reflection back. And then from there, the magic is in the facilitation of that, of that. And then, you know, getting the conversation going and then driving the action out of
it. That's so true, that the power is in the conversation and then taking the actions.
Yeah.
We oftentimes put the actions before the conversations.
A lot of time.
And then wonder why things are not getting done right. Well, Natalie, our time is up, if you can believe it.
It's gone really fast.
I know. That was such a great conversation. So what one last thing, I can think of a lot, but what one last thing would you like to share with our listeners?
Wow. You know, I think we are living in an extraordinary time. The new extraordinary rather than new normal. I don't like the word new normal. Yeah, I think that we are in a very, very interesting time right now. And I would just say to everyone, you know, just take stock. Take stock of your own personal purpose. You know, what is it that's driving, motivating, calling you, emerging in you? And that maybe some new project idea, some new thing that wants to come forth through you, through your skill set. And then really start to understand your own strengths in a more intentional way. Really think about it through the lens of innovation. And then find your collaborators. Find those that are going to support, work with you, whether they're in your team or in other organizations, to help you get that idea, to be that delta talent, yeah, to actually bridge that gap between, you know, what the problems are we need to solve, the opportunities we need to seize, and our own sense of where we are now.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. I encourage you to take something that you heard today and apply it in your business. The key to progress is action and sharing. I'd love to hear what you accomplish. Email me at jlovis@lovisconsulting.com and let me know. Speaking of applying it in your business, if you're struggling or looking to expand your leadership skills, let's talk. You can go to lovisconsulting.com. That's L-O-V as in Victor, A-S, consulting.com, and schedule a quick call with me. We need powerful, strong, compassionate leaders to solve the challenges we are facing today. Please subscribe on your favorite platform and share with your friends and family. Thank you for supporting us as we cause and expand 1 million women leaders in tech by 2030. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next week.